Good evening. Can everybody hear me okay tonight? Okay. We didn't have the mic and stuff situated for a couple of our older people this morning. They said they had a hard time hearing me, so I want to make sure everybody can hear me. If not, I'll click the other mic on. There was a prayer request left up here, and I don't have a name on it, so I don't know who it's from, but it could be from any one of us sitting in here. Repent. It's you? Okay. She says, repenting for unwise, unprudent decisions and prayers for discernment and better decision-making. I think a lot of us can say that. Prayers for God to break destructive patterns and addictive tendencies in myself and others. Prayers for traveling grace for my family and others. Amen. Let us go to our Father in prayer for her. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can gather here tonight. We thank you that we can approach your throne on behalf of others. Father, we ask you to be with this sister as she struggles with different things in her life. We lift her up to you tonight to give her comfort, to give her strength, and the rest of the family that also needs the helping hand that you have. We ask you to be with them, and it's through Christ we pray. Amen. The title of this sermon tonight is God's Words Fall on Deaf Ears. And I normally wouldn't say this, but I'm going to because I had a sermon this morning about how we didn't have time to make it to Bible studies and worship services and Sunday night worship services and all that. And we've got about a third of the people here today, tonight, that we had this morning. So evidently some of those God's words fell on deaf ears. We're going to talk about that tonight. Throughout the Bible, there's been several people put in bad situations. I'm not going to name them all, just a few of them. Moses, as far as he was concerned, was put into a bad situation. Noah, in the building of the ark, was put in a bad situation. David, when he was in the fight, was in a bad situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a bad situation. Paul, as we know, was in a bad situation several times throughout his life. Timothy, who he placed in Ephesus to put elders in the church, was put into a somewhat iffy or bad situation, and the same as Titus in Crete, and the list goes on and on and on. Tonight I want to talk about Jeremiah and the situation that he was put in. So we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah tonight. Three things happens in this, for failure of a better word, this story that I want to tell about Jeremiah. Tonight. One is God tells Jeremiah what to say. Second, Jeremiah says the words. And thirdly, there's reaction to the words. And that's the way it is anytime, like we hear a sermon, we hear Bible teaching. There's God tells us what to say. It's right here. We say them. And then there's reactions to those words. Different reactions from different people. So I want to start in Jeremiah, first chapter. I want to read verses 4 through 19 to start with. We're going to do quite a little bit of reading tonight to get the whole gist of this story. So Jeremiah 1, 4 through 19. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. And behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. Against all of its walls all around and against all the cities of Judah, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. That was the instruction to Jeremiah. Now bear in mind, Jeremiah, as near as I can find, was somewhere in the range of 15, 16, 17 years of age. Just a real young guy. And he tells Jesus, I am just a youth. You're asking me to do this. I'm just a youth. But what did God do? He put the words in his mouth. He tells about all the people from the north coming down. So he tells Jeremiah what's going to happen. He said, they're not going to listen to you. But don't worry. Don't worry about it. I got your back. No harm will come to you. That's kind of a situation sometimes we're put in as teachers and preachers of God's word. We have God's word right here in our mouth. And sometimes when we deliver God's word, people don't listen. Sometimes people make fun of us. Sometimes people just walk away and don't want anything to do with it. Well, God tells Jeremiah that's going to happen. All these people coming down from the north, all these tribes, they're not going to listen to you. Okay? So he's telling us the same thing. There's people that's not going to listen to you. Don't worry about it. I got your back. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. No harm is going to come to you. Now, this is what he's telling Jeremiah. Now, let's go over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Did not Jesus tell Jeremiah what to say? He put the words in his mouth. Jeremiah is now saying them. So verse 4, he said, do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and doings, not just partway, remember, these are God's words. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt. Okay, guys, listen to a whole bunch of things here. If you thoroughly amend your ways, if you thoroughly execute judgments, if you don't oppress the stranger, the fatherless, if you do all these things, then God said, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So God is making these people a promise. If you get rid of all this stuff in your life and all these things that are going on, I'll make this a nice place for you to dwell in. Now, verse 8, he said, behold. Uh-oh. You trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to you. We are delivered to do all these abominations. God said, are you going to come to me and say this, all this stuff is okay after you've done it? And in verse 11, he says, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. Now bear in mind, these were the words that God gave Jeremiah to say to these people. You see what kind of a situation he got put into? He's calling these people out. He's saying, you have to amend your ways and your doings. You have to thoroughly execute a judgment between man and his neighbor. And you can't oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. You can't do all these things. And yet you're doing all these things, and you come into my house and say, we've done all these things. And you still want me to say it's okay. People didn't see themselves. Jeremiah delivers God's words. No doubt about it, he delivered what God told him to say. Now if we go over to Jeremiah 1, or 26, Jeremiah 26, 1 through 9, here's the reaction. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim and the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which came to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. Don't leave anything out. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn away from his evil way. A little bit of sarcasm in there, I think. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I propose to bring on them because of their evil of their doings. So God's saying, well, yeah, maybe everybody will listen. He knows better. Maybe everybody will listen. Maybe everybody will repent. He knows better. And verse 4, he said, and you shall say to them, back to Jeremiah again, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk by my law, which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So here again, you've got God saying, I'll do this for you, but you got to do this. And if you're going to do it your way, here's what's going to happen. Do we not have that same thing in our own lives? God tells us what to do. He's given a direction here, laid out a map for us how to obey him and how to get to heaven. And we shun that, and then we come back to him, and God says, and you've done all this stuff, and you come back to me and say, what you've been doing is okay. And I shall say to them, if you will not listen to me to walk in the law as I have set before you, you got to heed my words of my servants and the prophets whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you've not heeded, so God knows, that I'm going to make this house like Shiloh. I'm going to make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. You can't do what I'm telling you to do. That's what I'm going to do. Now, that's pretty well explained out. It goes on in verse 7. Here's some reactions. The priests and the prophets of all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. So everybody's listening. They're hearing what Jeremiah has to say. I should say they're listening, they're not really hearing. So all the priests and the prophets, that's everybody in there, and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now, verse 8, it says, now it happened. Here's what happened. When Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people. So now he's told these people everything that God put in his mouth. Everything that God said to say to them. And God told Jeremiah, don't leave anything out. So we know Jeremiah did what he was supposed to do. All right? So he did everything that was commanded him to speak to all the people. That the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, you will surely die. Now, didn't God tell Jeremiah, they're not going to listen to you, and they're going to give you a hard time, but don't you worry about it. I got your back. In verse 9, they come to him, they still on Jeremiah, they say, why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? Why are you saying these things? Well, because that's what God told Jeremiah to say. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. So you can imagine all these tribes and all these people from the north, and they're important people in their own minds and in their own lands. And they're sitting here listening to what Jeremiah's got to say to them because that's what God told him to say. And they're not having it. How many times have we sat down to study with someone or we've tried to talk to someone about God and they won't listen? Nothing different than what Jeremiah's going through. Except there's hordes of people here that want to kill him. Bad situation God put Jeremiah in, right? All right, so let's go to verse 16. Now here comes a little bit of protection for Jeremiah. It says, so the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets. So now the priests and the prophets have got opposition here, coming from the princes and all the people. And they said, this man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us, how? In the name of the Lord our God. Somebody listened. Somebody understood. But it wasn't the people from the north that came in, because they were not doing God's will. And they didn't want to do God's will. They wanted to do it their own way. So we see the people did not see themselves in God's message. And how many times, you know, and I even, you know, listen to Bruce or Preston or anybody else out of this pulpit or any other pulpit. Sometimes that message should hit us right between the eyes. And we say, that's not me. That doesn't pertain to me. That's what was going on with these people that Jeremiah was trying to talk to. People didn't see themselves in God's message. That's not us. We're not doing that. God said, yeah, you are. And what'd they do? They rationalized it away. Their gross, ugly self-deception basically was an abomination towards God. They were slapping God in the face. They were saying, we're not listening to you. We're not doing what you want us to do. We're doing what we want to do. And we have a lot of that going on in the world today. We have a lot of me out there and a lot of I out there. And I'm going to do it my way. It's my life. I'll do it my way. You're telling me I got to go to worship and I got to do this. And I got no, I'm doing it my way. And as we talked about this morning, we need to be concerned about those people because they're losing their salvation. No doubt about it. All right, so let's look at some of the lessons from those that deceived God. Spiritual advantages can be lost quickly. So the question that I would have at this point would be, are we gaining or losing on our spiritual ground? Are we continuing to grow or are we going backwards? There's an old formula in mathematics that you either continue to go up or you're going to go down. You can't plateau and maintain. It doesn't work that way. And I'll give you a good example. If a guy's got a business and a sales clientele and they've got customers, you have to continue to get new customers because the old ones are going to leave and die. All right? So you have to continue to grow or you're going to go backwards. And that's the way with anything that we do in our life. If we don't continue to grow, you're going to go backwards. All right? So are we gaining ground on our Christianity or are we losing ground? Only you can answer that. Lost spiritual ground can be recovered. All right? So if we find ourselves going a little bit down on the downhill, it can be recovered. And how do we do that? First and foremost, it's through a humble repentance. We had a young lady here tonight ask for repentance. Reform our ways and our actions. Quit doing what we're doing that's not in God's will. Quit doing what we're doing that's against what God commands. Or maybe I should say, start doing what God commands. Change our ways. Here's a big word, and we see it in the New Testament, pride. Pride gets in the way of a lot of things. And a lot of times, pride will let us fight repentance. I'm not admitting that. I'm just not going to do it. Pride gets in our way. So, if we look at our life and it's in a place where repentance is right, then we'll never be at peace until we get that repentance, until we do repent. There's always going to be an inner turmoil, knowing that you're not quite right with God. It's, you know, something that we have as human beings. We know when things are not right. We know when things are not good, even though we may not want to admit it. But if we're in a place where we need to repent, as these people were, then we need to do it in order to get ourselves back right. Thirdly, false trust. Okay? These people had false trust. They were burning incense to other gods. They were doing things against God's will. They had a false trust in doctrines that weren't true. False trust produces deception. Time after time in the New Testament, and especially in Paul's letters, he says, do not be deceived. Sin deceives us. Satan makes things look real good. Ask these people from the north that came in for this thing with Jeremiah. They thought things were great. Satan had a picture painted for them that was perfect. The deceived believe they will not reap what they sow. I think that's a common belief. Our own desires produce a sin. If we had desires for God, there wouldn't be any sin in our lives. If we have desires for self, we're going to find sin usually. A mind led astray from pure and sincere devotion is deceived. Satan's working on us if we're not got our focus completely on God. It delivers untimely and only deceives themselves. And lastly, Jeremiah was told what to say. We're told what to say, what to teach, what to preach. He said it. We need to say it. We need to teach it. Unfortunately, what Jeremiah had to say fell on deaf ears. These people were not buying it. Unfortunately, some of our teaching and our preaching fall on deaf ears. That's just the way it is. God's laid it out. God said it's going to happen. He told Jeremiah what was going to happen. Paul tells us it's going to happen. Those are God's words through Paul. So God's telling us it's going to happen. And what does he say to do? If you can't get through to someone, if you can't teach someone, then dust your hands and move on. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we don't want to completely give up on anyone either, because there's still that hope. The people were deceived into thinking they were okay in God's eyes, and they weren't. That was the situation Jeremiah was put in. It wasn't a good situation. It was a tough situation, especially when you consider all the factors that were involved in him only being 15, 16, 17 years old at this time. You know, most of us in here are considerably older than that. We got Puka's that age. Imagine if you were in that position with Jeremiah and God came to you and said, you're going to go talk to these people and they ain't going to listen to you. And they're probably going to want to kill you when you get done. That's a pretty bad situation to be thrown into, all right? but that's the way it was. Sometimes we feel that way, and we can't. We have to continue on. We have to continue to teach and preach God's word, no matter how tough it gets. You guys all know I work pretty close with a missionary in India by the name of Vilan. Some of the things that he tells me and some of the things he goes through, it's tough out there. We just think it's tough. Okay? Think about that as we walk out these doors and back out into the world this week. Blessings yours. If you've got things in your life that you need prayers for or need help straightening out, do you need to repent? We have that time available right now. And as I told you this morning, I don't have time. Don't make it that way. If you've got repentance in your heart, it needs to be taken care of or you won't be at peace. I'll guarantee you that. The invitation is also open if there's anyone here tonight that has not received their Lord in baptism. We would be more than happy to baptize you into the family and get things right in your life. So if there's any kind of a need at all, let us stand and sing as Brandon leads us in the closing song.